morning, Mark chapter 7, verses 24 through 37. The text reads, "From there he arose and went to the regions of Tyre and Sidon, and he entered into a house and was desiring for no one to know it, but he was not able to be hidden. For a woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit, when she heard he was there, when she heard concerning him, she came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek," that is a Hellenist, Greek speaking, "a Syrophoenician by birth," or literally by race. "And she kept on asking him," the tense of the verb shows that this was continuous, "she kept on asking him to cast the demon out of her daughter. But Jesus said to her, 'Let the children be filled first, for it is not good to take the children's bread and to throw it to the little dogs.' And she answered and said to him, 'Yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs under the table eat from the children's crumbs.' Then he said to her, 'On account of this saying, go your way. The demon has gone out of your daughter.' And when she had come to her house, she found the demon had gone out, and her daughter had been lying on the bed. Again departing from that region of Tyre and Sidon, he came through the midst of the region of Decapolis to the Sea of Galilee. Then they brought to him one who was deaf and whose speech was impaired, and they begged him to put his hand upon him. And he took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers in his ears, and he spat and touched his tongue. Then looking up into heaven, he sighed and said to him, 'Ephphatha,' that is, 'be opened.' Immediately his ears were opened, and his impaired tongue was loosed, and he spoke plainly," or more literally, correctly. "Then he commanded them that they should tell no one, but the more he commanded them, the more widely they proclaimed it. And they were astonished beyond measure, saying," and this is the key to the message today, "'He has done all things well. He makes both the deaf to hear and the mute to speak.'" Now turn with me to Matthew chapter 15, please. We're going to pick up a couple of commentary points from Matthew on the same incident that will help us in our text today. Matthew chapter 15. At verse 21. "Then Jesus went out from there and departed from the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan." This is something we're not told in our text in Mark. So one key note to remember in commentary for our text is that she was a Canaanite. "Came from the region and cried out to him, saying, 'Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David.'" Point number two in commentary. She's recognizing him as Messiah, the Jews' Messiah. "My daughter is severely demonized. But he answered her not a word." Another commentary point. He didn't answer. "And his disciples came and urged him, saying, 'Send her away, for she cries out after us.'" The Lord didn't answer, so she started following after the disciples. And the disciples said, "Lord, do something, will you? She's nagging us." "But he answered and said, 'I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel.' Then she came and worshipped him, saying, 'Lord, help me.' And he answered and said, 'It is not good to take the bread of the children and to throw it to the little dogs.' And she said, 'Yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table.' Then Jesus answered and said to her, 'O woman, great is your faith.'" Please take note again, another commentary note. "Great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire." And her daughter was healed from that very hour. Jesus departed from there, skirted the Sea of Galilee, and went up to the mountain and sat down there. Then the great multitudes came to him, having with them the lame and the blind and the mute and the maimed and many others. And they laid them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. So the multitude marveled when they saw the mute speaking, the maimed made whole, the lame walking, and the blind seeing, and they glorified the God of Israel. Back to Mark chapter 7, please. At Mark chapter 4, beginning of Mark chapter 4, we've been studying the aspects of ministry. In Mark chapter 4, Jesus brought out the importance of how people hear the Word of God, the parable of the sower. The second point that we had studied about the ministry of the Lord, we saw four different circumstances with four different kinds or groups of people where the Lord ministered the same principles. That is, the Lord always puts those of His in circumstances that are above and beyond their human ability, of their authority, or their own strength. So that He puts us in situations where we try to rely on our own resources and strength and realize we can't do it. That every circumstance is designed to be beyond us, that only the Lord knows and only the Lord can minister and take care of the situation. The second principle He ministered is He revealed Himself in those circumstances, that He is the Lord, that He has the authority, the power, and the control, and He wants us to trust Him. But then there was the response, as we saw. Some people came to Him and wanted to be with Him because of it. Other people wanted to get away from Him or wanted Him to get away from them because of His authority and power. Then thirdly, in Mark chapter 6, we saw discipleship. We saw the Lord minister to His disciples about family, about faith, learning to live by faith, about the fate of John the Baptist, and about the feeding of the 5,000. And now in chapter 7, as we began last week in the first 23 verses, we're studying about opposition. Opposition to Christ. And we saw in verses 1 through 23 of how the religious leaders came and said that the disciples did not wash their hands through religious means. That is, the religious ritual of washing hands before eating. And the Lord ministered to them about how they live by their traditions. And how the Lord is interested in someone's heart, not their religious performance. That the Lord wants our hearts. And He quotes Isaiah and said, How did Isaiah speak of you? That you worship me with your lips and with your mouth, but your heart is far from me, and in vain do you worship me. And He ministered to about the importance of the heart. That the Lord wants our heart, because out of the heart comes all of the evil things of life. And our hearts are wounded, is deceitful, and wounded by sin. Who can know it? And so the Lord ministers to people. He ministers to their hearts. Now in the midst of this section on opposition, the Lord is ministering about faith. We have the principles of faith mentioned in our text, which is what we're going to study this morning. The principles of what it means to trust the Lord in verses 24 through 30. I'd like to call your attention, first of all, to the problem. This woman came to Him from, she was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by birth or by family, verse 26. In Matthew, we saw that she was a Canaanite. Two things about her situation as we study about the problem itself. First of all, she said in Matthew's text that her daughter was severely demonized. For someone to be demon-possessed or demonized is bad enough, but she was severely demonized. This is one of the most severest cases of demon possession there was. Second of all, she was a Greek, a Syrophoenician. She was from Phoenicia, and the Syrophoenicians lived on the coast, whereas the other Phoenicians lived in the hills. So she was from the coastland in Syrophoenicia. She was called a Canaanite in Matthew's gospel. That's very, very important to show the problem and the severity of this situation. We know from Genesis chapter 9, you remember when Noah was sleeping and one of his sons, and it doesn't tell us what it was, did some kind of immoral act towards his father. And there was a curse placed upon, some people think, the line of Ham. But if you'll notice the text, the curse was placed on Canaan, that is one of the grandsons. And so the Canaanites multiplied in the land, and the Lord eventually brought His people into the land of Canaan, and there He had His people the Jews, the nation Israel, that would later be the nation Israel, come in, and he told them to destroy the Canaanites in the land. We know that they didn't do that completely. And we know that God's judgment came upon them for not doing it. Now, what is interesting is that as these Canaanites who had escaped the wars and the judgment of God through Israel, later found their headquarters and center in Carthage. And if you remember the story in history about Hannibal. Anyway, God brought the Romans against the Phoenicians and the Canaanites to destroy them and to wipe them out because God's people didn't do it. This was God's judgment. It goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 9. Now, if you're a Jew, if you're a Hebrew, you understand that this woman comes in. She's a Canaanite. She's a Syrophoenician. This woman, if she came up and she told the Lord, "My daughter is severely demonized," the response would be, "That's what you get. God's judgment is on you." She is considered to Jewish society the worst of the worst. And no wonder her daughter is severely demonized. And this woman has what we would consider, or a Jew would consider, the nerve to approach Jesus Christ with her request. It was repulsive to them. The first thing I want you to see after studying the problem is the perception of this woman. These are all the principles of faith. The persistence of this woman. She came, and the text tells us that she continually kept on asking the Lord to help her. She persisted. Remember our theme for this text. The Lord does all things well. Maybe not in our judgment or estimation, but in His judgment. The way He does things, He does all things well. She came and was persistent in her approach and her seeking of the Lord. We know in Matthew's text, the Lord didn't answer her. So I ask myself, what happens when I pray? What happens when I seek the Lord and seemingly the Lord doesn't answer? Nothing happens. I get no response. Seemingly I don't see His response in my circumstances. I don't get any answer. I don't get any sense of God's Spirit saying, "Take it easy, I'm in control," anything. No sense about it at all. He wants me to persist. He wants me to keep going. Faith does not quit. If you turn with me to Luke, turn with me, just hold your place in Mark, and turn with me to Luke chapter 11 for a moment. Faith is persistent in prayer and in persistent in seeking the Lord, and faith does not quit. In Luke chapter 11, which is the teaching on prayer, "Now it came to pass as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples.'" And you know that Jesus taught as what we call the Lord's Prayer, which is actually the disciples' prayer. But if you'll notice, in verse 9, Jesus said, "So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened unto you. For everyone..." Listen to the translation. "For everyone who continually asks, receives. And the one who continually seeks, that person finds. And to him who continually knocks, it will be open unto him." So Jesus has his way of doing things. And when he does things, he does all things well. You remember in John chapter 11, when Jesus got word that Lazarus, the message was, "The one whom you love is sick and about ready to die," so he waited. He didn't go. And Lazarus died. And a couple of days later, when he came into town, Martha greeted him. She heard that he was in town, and she came to him and she said, "Lord, had you been here, my brother would not have died." Jesus waited on purpose. He does everything well. He says, this this death, this sickness is not unto death, and this death is not permanent. I am the resurrection and the life. But he told both her and the disciples that all this happened so that you might believe. He waited. He didn't respond. He allowed Lazarus to die so that he could raise him from the dead, so that they might believe. He does everything well. He has a reason as to why he waits and why he doesn't answer right away. As a matter of fact, when he doesn't answer, that is the answer. Keep on seeking. Keep on asking. Keep on knocking. Because the person who is persistent, the person who continues to believe, that is the person that receives. That is the person that has the doors open unto you. Faith is persistent. Remember our text in Matthew 15. Jesus says, it's because of the greatness of your faith. Something that our text doesn't tell us. Faith is persistent. She kept on asking him to heal her daughter. And she kept on and was persistent. Jesus did not answer her. Thirdly, I'd like to point out to you in the text in verse 27, the priority. Jesus said, "Let the children be filled first, for it is not good to take the children's bread and to throw it to the dogs." In Matthew 15, he said, I have not come except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So he's talking about Israel. Now, there are two words for dog. The Jews used a word for dog for the Gentiles and especially for the Canaanites. And the word that they used was for the scavenger, the ones that hung out in the alley and on the street. This Greek word for dog is the small dog, the little house dog that's inside the house. So it's kind of interesting how both Jesus and the woman would use the word for the small dogs, the domestic animals inside the house, because he's making reference to her as being inside the house. Much like the Gentiles in the house of Israel. Her answer to him, she said to him, "Yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs under the table eat from the crumbs of the children." The priority. Jesus said, "Jews first. I've come to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." A lot of the times the Lord will wait and the Lord will answer our prayers as we are persistent in trusting Him and coming to Him and continuing to seek Him. He answers our prayers in accordance to people around us, and we don't even know it. We know from Matthew chapter 15 that He would not answer her, so she went after the disciples and were nagging them. You see what the situation did? It brought out something out of the disciples that the Lord wanted to deal with. We get so self-centered and so focused on ourselves as we pray to the Lord about our particular situation. That was her particular situation. It was her daughter that was severely demonized. But the Lord waited because there were other priorities involved. Not just in His ministry. The priority is the house of Israel. Later, the Gentiles. But the priority in our lives and our situations sometimes is that there are other people involved that the Lord's ministering to, and He's drawing out problems that other people have that He wants to deal with, or other situations, and it's through our particular trial that He wants to deal with the disciples. So the first principle of faith is persistence. The second principle of faith is the Lord has His priority and His way of doing things. He does all things well. From our perspective, you can imagine. Here's a woman who is persistent in seeking the Lord to help her because she knows that He can help. You have the disciples who are saying, "Get rid of her. She's nagging us. If you're not going to answer her prayer and do anything, then get rid of her because she's nagging after us." And they need to learn their lesson. So the whole situation is that the Lord has His priorities. There are things that He is attempting to accomplish in our particular situation, not only with us, but other people. But with other people too. So He says, it's not right to take the bread of the children and give it to the little dogs. So what He's saying is, the meal, the bread, belongs to the house of Israel. the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Notice what faith does in her answer. Yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs under the table eat from the children's crumbs. You know what faith does? Faith takes the provision of the Lord and knows that it's satisfied. Just with the crumbs. Do you realize that just the crumbs falling off the table is enough? This woman showed her faith by saying, I don't need a full meal. I don't need much. I just need a crumb. I just need a touch. That's her faith in Christ. I don't need to sit at the table and eat the full meal. Just, okay, I'm a little dog. I will accept my position and I will accept your provision as being sufficient. She accepted and received the Lord's response. That's something that we don't always do, because the Lord does all things well. But from our perspective, she didn't argue his point about her position as a dog in the story, as a household domestic dog that's under the table like the Gentiles, because the full meal belongs to the Jews, the lost sheep of the house of Israel. She accepted her position and received the provision of the Lord as being sufficient. Interesting, in Philippians chapter 4, at verse 12, Paul was ministering to the Christians in Philippi about helping out with the needs of the ministry. But he says, not because I have a need, I say this, because I have learned in all my situations to be content. Whether it's to go without food or to have food, I have learned in every situation to be content, for I can do all things through Christ who empowers me. So he says, I'm not speaking about myself, but God has taught me to be content. Even if I'm hungry and starving, be content with what God gives you. He's sufficient. Sometimes our acceptance of the Lord's provision comes only when we are satisfied, both spiritually and in the flesh, and circumstantially. The crumbs from the table, that's all it takes. Just the touch of Christ to minister to the most severest of situations and of problems. She received the Lord's provision as sufficient. She received her position. She said, fine, no argument. I'm a dog. I'm one of the household dogs. No problem. Faith. Faith is persistent. Faith trusts in God's priority. Faith trusts in our position, that we are not worthy. Who do we think we are, making demands of God? And faith receives the provision as being sufficient. The Lord's sufficient. Anything that He gives in the way that He answers, because He does all things well. Verse 29. Then he said to her, for this saying, go your way, the demon has gone out of your daughter. And when she had come to her house, she had found that the demon had gone out and her daughter had been lying upon the bed. The power of the Lord had gone out and ministered to her. And as we shared with you in chapter 15 of Matthew, because as great as your faith, you're persistent. You trust in God's priorities and the way that He handles the situation. You receive your position for who you really are in the sight of God. You accept God's provision as being sufficient. How great is your faith? Those are the principles of faith. And her daughter was healed. But then in verse 31, when he departed from that region, he came through the midst of the regions of Decapolis, the Sea of Galilee, and they brought to him one who was deaf and impaired of speech, and they begged him to place his hand on him. Now, verse 33 tells us a very interesting situation. He took him aside from the multitudes, and in a moment we'll find out why. The Lord did not make a spectacle or a theatrical event over his ministry to people. He took him aside. He could not hear and he could not speak. That is, his speech was impaired. So he took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers in his ears, and he spat, probably on his finger, and touched his tongue. The Lord didn't do every ministry in every situation the same. There are some people who like to draw up formulas and say, just pray this prayer and do these certain things in every situation. The Lord met every situation differently. Why did He put His fingers in His ears and spit on His finger and touch His tongue? It was for the man. It was a form of sign language to let him know exactly what he was going to do. The man had no idea what he was going to do. And so he stuck his fingers in his ears and he spat on his finger and touched his tongue. Now the man knew what he was going to do. And he said to him, when he looked up into heaven, remember, he took him aside privately, Ephphatha, that is Aramaic for be open. Immediately his ears were opened, and the impairment of his tongue was loosed, and he spoke correctly. But then he commanded them that they should tell no one. But the more he commanded them, the more widely they proclaimed it. You see why the Lord didn't want to make a spectacle? Why He didn't want to do this? Can you imagine? Within probably 30 days, there have been 5 books in the bookstore. How to Heal the Deaf and Heal those who are impaired of speech. You see people walking around spitting on their fingers, touching everybody's tongue, and putting their fingers in their ears. Nothing happening. Well, you're not doing it right. You don't have enough faith, you know. Everything the Lord did. He's the Creator of the world, and His Word opened His ears and loosed His tongue. But He did it privately, not to make a spectacle to the multitudes, because the multitudes could not be obedient to the command of the Lord. A lot of times when the Lord moves in our lives, it's privately. It's for us. He's ministering to me about a certain situation. Have you ever had the Lord move so greatly in your life and just really, something you would call a miracle, and just see the Lord move so greatly, and you go out and try to share it with other people because you're just so enthused. It's just like, wow. Let me share with you what the Lord's done for me. And people just look at you with a blank stare. It doesn't mean anything to them. And they know it means something to you because you're all excited about it and you've just been uplifted and you've had something, the Lord do something great in your life, and you go share it with other people. And they just, oh, well, that's great. Praise the Lord. You know. They just can't get into it like you do, and they can't get enthused. It doesn't minister to them, except that they're happy for you, and that's nice. The Lord does all things well. He's not out to make a spectacle or a theatrical event out of Him moving in our lives. Most of what He does in our lives is for us, for our faith. He does all things well. He knows exactly what He's doing. He's not trying to impress anybody, and He's particularly not trying to draw people to Him as a miracle worker or someone who can multiply food for them or make them rich. He's out to increase and enrich our faith, our trust in Him. He does all things well. Verse 37 says, "And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, He has done all things well. He makes both the deaf to hear and the mute to speak." Yes, He does all things well. In our perspective, we get confused and we don't understand. Sometimes it seems like He doesn't answer. Sometimes it takes so long for Him to answer, but He wants us to be persistent. He wants us to receive His priorities. He has things that He wants to accomplish in our lives and in our circumstances and in our situations that are even beyond us. Sometimes it has to do with the people we live with, our loved ones, our families. Sometimes the people we work with, go to school with, in community with, as they observe our faith in Christ. It's important that we accept our position. We are in no position to approach the Lord with an attitude of, "Lord, if You love me, You'll do this. If not, I won't trust You." The Jews are His chosen people. They were chosen to bring us the gospel. Paul said in the book of Romans chapter 11, we have been grafted in. It's only out of God's grace and mercy that we have been grafted in and given the opportunity to serve Him. to the Jew first and then to the Gentile. Our position, only out of God's mercy. God's provision is sufficient. It might not be the full meal we're looking for, but it's powerful. It's exactly what we need. Faith receives God's way and His will in answer to our situation as the way He wants things handled. He has a reason for it. And the way in which He ministers, sometimes it's for us privately and He'll take us aside and it's for our faith and for our ministry. Sometimes it'll mean something to other people and sometimes it won't. And sometimes He'll tell us, don't share it with other people. The multitudes were disobedient. The more He commanded them not to tell anyone, the more they went and told it, because He did not want to make a theatrical event out of it. It had a reason. It had a purpose. Faith is personal. Faith is persistently believing that God's will is being done God's way, and it's beyond us. It's accomplishing much more than we could ever understand. He wants us just to let go and just trust Him that He does all things well. There is no such thing as the Lord doing something half-heartedly or in a shabby way, that the Lord's not on the job, that He's not answering, that He's not in control. It's impossible. So no matter what our evaluation of the situation is, everything is working out according to God's plan, His timing, and for His purposes. And He wants us to trust Him. Let's close with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You. We thank You for the lessons of faith. For certainly seeking You for a while and then quitting is not trust. We're trying to get You to respond our way. Lord, help us to see that You cause us to wait upon You, because that's what faith is. Trusting You. It might be for a long period of time. But You want us to be persistent in our faith. You want us to receive the priority and the purposes for which You have in our situation, not only in our own lives, but in the lives of others, for Your accomplishment in the situation. You want us to see us for who we really are. Our position before You is as a beggar. Not begging You, as You would try to make someone to beg, but we are but dust. And we're totally dependent upon Your mercy and grace to touch us and to minister to us for our provision. And Lord, just cause us to be satisfied with You. As Paul said in Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I will say rejoice. The word meaning be satisfied. To just be content and satisfied with You and the provision that You give to us. And help us to receive Your way of doing things. That You're not interested in us putting on a show for others with what You do for us. That this is for us privately. You're trying to, through trials and situations and personal interaction with us, to cause us personally to trust You. We just thank You for Your love. Just give us the ability to trust You this week and give us the understanding that we need to know what You're trying to accomplish in our lives. The persistence, the priority, our position, and Your provision. But also Your provision, Your way. Just thank You for Your love towards us. Teach us to be at peace, that we might experience the peace and joy of Christ this week, because we trust You, that You do all things well. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.